It is good to see you all be part here at Grace Church. I'm Hal Santos. I was the pastor here for 38 years. Now, by the grace of God, Pastor Ben and Michelle are our pastor. I said our pastor, all of us, not just mine, all of us. And those that are watching online, thank you for being a part of what's being said and done. Thank you for all you're doing and being a part of Grace. Thank you for the times of serving and serving with your whole heart and being a part here. Pam and I would like to thank you. Pam, right now, we had a thing that started. Someone are letting us use, donate a house down by Orlando, Florida, and I don't say the name just right. It's called Kissimmee. And what's interesting about it is we're able to invite six other pastors, ministers, and their spouse to come be a part of the service, part of a 4 days together, and it starts tomorrow. And with me sharing here, then she's already down there, and then I'll leave today right after service and head that way myself. So we encourage you to be praying for us because it's an exciting time. It's a great time for them as they come. But before I get into that, Pam told me the other day she thinks we've driven about 47,000 miles since we were here the last time. Facebook is an interesting thing because it comes out every once in a while, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, a year ago. We had a year ago that this is a few weeks ago where it showed us being launched from our church here at Grace Church, showed us being prayed for and everything, and it was right here, and it was a great memory. People ask me, what do you miss about pastoring? There are some things I miss, some things I don't particularly miss, but there are the biggest thing that we both miss is the community here at Grace Church, and the community in which we lived in here for 38 years, for those that don't know me. And so it's really been an interesting travel journey. Miss you all, miss being a part of this, miss the hugs and the hellos and all the other kind of things, and I'll probably miss the muffins with mothers next in a couple weeks. That's a pretty neat idea there. And then I miss the people. I was going through some old tapes. We had old tapes up there. You can't hardly find a cassette tape player, so we're going through them, and I found some of Dr. Silsby. I found one of Jill. I need to give it to her. Jill Sprinkle was our children's minister some time ago, and she preached on a Sunday night, so that was a while ago. And she's only 25, but she did a good job as a young girl. And really, to see all those people, to see what takes place, I got a picture of Keith. I got a tape of Keith I got to give before he leaves. Keith Warfield, it was him preaching. His kids need to listen to that one. That would be good. Straighten them all out. It gets you together, you know. And so just a lot of great things taking place and happening. And I thank you because you all are very valuable to us. And I know we're valuable to you. And if you want to know more about us, beautifully put out here in the foyer with QR codes. Not RQ codes. That's what I usually call it. But QR codes. There is a map of the world and also has our picture on there, and you could take a picture of that deal, that block, or put it on your phone, and it has all of our information just like all the other missionaries. It's a great idea, wonderful idea. A lot of good changes, a lot of good things taking place here at Grace Church. If you're looking for a church, there's a lot of really great churches in our communities to really look for and look at and check out. But thank you for coming and checking out Grace, and please give it another shot. Come hear Pastor Ben next week. He looks better. He's younger. And he doesn't have as much gray as I do, but give him a few more years. But it is really what a pleasant time to be here. And what a... I tell you, when things change, I'm grateful for Miss Jackie and Miss Tiffany, and I call Mr. Dakota. Well, these folks are doing a really wonderful job of ministry. When you see them, just ask them, how can I be involved? We can say we don't really like or we don't like, but it takes all of us getting involved. It's not a one-man show. And so appreciate. I leaned over to your wife and said, you have done a great job teaching him how to talk in public. A really good job. But we're just blessed to have them all. You'll see in your program, there you're given, after my time of sharing, then I'm going to lead us in communion. The program there has the verses that I'm going to be sharing from. And you've been going through a series called Relationship. This is the last of the series, but it's the beginning for a challenge for all of us to stay in tune with our relationship, first with God and then with people around us. when we look at the challenge of relationships, it challenges us in all kinds of ways. It challenges in where we live, who we talk to, who we're around, what is said, what is happening, and it challenges us and works some deep work within us. When we look at Isaiah chapter 18, verse 19, it says this. You're reading from the program that you received. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make roads in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He is sharing with us that he's going to do new rivers or new things. He says, don't you see it? Shall you not know it? Some writers say he's saying, can't you see it? It's right there. It's in front of you. When I share about sharing this morning about relationships, I've decided to follow Jesus. It goes way back to July of 1971 when I received Christ as my personal Savior, and I pray that you remember the time you accepted Christ. I was 15 years old, sitting in my front porch. You've heard the story before, some of you haven't, but it's a good refresher thought. That three guys, Richard, Mike, and Stephen, came walking by, and they started to share with me about Jesus, how he can change my life. Richard kind of took the lead as he then asked me, would I like to accept Christ as my personal Savior? I said, I'd like to give him a try. He said, you don't give him a try like you do your coats. You give him a commitment. And when you give that commitment, it is an all-out surrender. It is one that we give totally our whole life to him, everything we are about to him. And I said, I don't know if I really want to do that. So then they took it back around in the circle again with the witness with me. And I gave my heart to Christ. That was in 1971, 54 years ago, 53 years ago, soon to be 54. So from that, I started to really tune in about following Jesus Christ, that he's the Savior of my life, that he really takes full. I started walking in the number one relationship. I wanted to share this part of it because that's where relationships all begin. It's not asking you to be in a religion. Got to turn back the cassette tape. To be in a religion or something foreign. It's about accepting Christ as your personal Savior and how he changes your life. And he gives you the greatest life you've ever had. And it only comes through repentance. It doesn't come through good works. It doesn't come from saying the Ten Commandments or the Our Father. It comes from repentance. That is saying, Lord, help me not to repeat what I used to do that you didn't like for me to do. It's repentance. It's turning and going the other way. When we come to this point, we realize that God is doing something much greater than he could ever do in our lives. And that is when we repent. When we repent of our sins. Life then begins to change. Here now it brings us to a thought in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. Now it happened, they went, that he entered a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into the house. And he had a sister called Mary. She had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted. With much serving, she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Pause for a minute to say, how many times have we asked the Lord, could you please get this person moving because they're really bothering me? Have you prayed that? Don't respond. Just listen. A laughter is as good as an amen. And Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, you have worried about troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. It becomes this busyness, this going, this coming, this doing everything we can. Have you ever caught yourself in a place of total busyness where it doesn't seem like it ever stops? It keeps going and going and going. But you see, productivity is much more important than busyness. We become productive when we spend time with Jesus and we talk to him. So Martha became this person that was so busy. And it became a reminder to Jesus that Mary's just sitting at his feet. It became a reminder to them that Jesus and his guests that were there that they realized that that he was doing something deeper within them by letting them see each other, that they needed each other. Let me pause to say, here in the body of Christ, at Grace Church, and anywhere, anyone watching, and anywhere in the world, we, the body of Christ, need each other. Hello? Whenever there's a time when somebody starts ripping on another pastor or another minister, I kind of turn it off, to be honest with you. Because we really do need each other. We need to seek the Lord like we never have before. When you talk about the 10 cities in America, the 10 top less church-going churches in America, San Francisco's number one with 1%, and then Seattle's number two with 2%. When you start saying there's no time for us to start nitpicking it to death, deal with it, repent, and move on. Hello? So Jesus now is making this instruction with them because he's giving them a clear message that it is time to sit at my feet and to see. Busy can become the enemy of productivity. Busyness can become so exhausting that we forget that it takes time to pray, to seek the Lord. So now we stake out in these 3 points. I have decided to follow Jesus for the rest of my life. How much longer will we live? Who knows? They predict a certain time, you'll only live this long or that long. Who knows? My mother-in-law is 92 years old, calls us from her Bluetooth from her cell phone, drives herself to get her hair did or nails did or toes did and go to church and do Bible study and do everything she did. She does it driving. Walking. We got out walking. We were watching LSU and Iowa play in the girls' basketball team for the championship this past week in the playoffs. And she told us about how she played basketball, and she's yelling at the TV. How many of y'all yell at the TV when you're watching sports? You yell at the TV. She's yelling at the TV saying, that's a swoosh, come on, you got to jump, move them out of the way, throw an elbow, the whole thing. She would be rough. She's only about this big, 92 years old, about maybe 100 pounds. And then so she walks a mile a day after she does her word puzzle, she does her verse memorization, she reads the Bible, she does her crossroad, and she watches her show. What's that? I forget that one show where they play a song waiting for you to answer the deal. Do you know it? Huh? Jeopardy. She watches that show and answers those questions. So now then she goes for a walk, a 1 mile walk. Now, she said she played basketball in high school, and I wasn't going to challenge that. I didn't know they, you know. And so she tells me, but you ever play sports where they have a line here and a line there, and you run to that one, touch the line. So I said, I'll walk with you. She walks a quarter of a mile and then turns around and comes back. Well, she walks all the way. She's walking. She's staying up as hard as she can. I'm trying. My gait's a little longer than hers, so I walked a little slower. And she goes, and there's a crack in the driveway. She said, this is where I go. She touches the crack. She goes back to the house on a mission, just like that. So I thought, I wonder if she really, you know, 92, she might have thought she played basketball. And so when it came to the crack in the road, I went like this a little bit further away from it. She looks to see, like, hey. You got to touch this crack. Then run, then go to the house. That's what we did when we played basketball. Okay, I got you, Mom. When we think about how life goes by so fast, now the challenge is this. Did you decide to follow Jesus? That lady, we get up at 5. She goes to bed at 5, wakes up at 5. I go down and drink community coffee with her. There's no other coffee on planet Earth. And we drink community coffee with her. And she tells me the history of life. She tells me what it was like when she was a child. She tells me about different things. And I'm going to tell you this. All the stories are very clear. You never know how long you're going to live. But while you're living, we got 249 days left in this year. If you get a chance to live out to January 1, you'll have 249 days. If you don't make it to that run, at least touch the crack with your foot. And don't cheat yourself out of anything. If you're going to run all the way, run to the edge. Touch it, and then turn around and come back. Because if you're going to start cheating yourself out of something, you only get 249 days left in this year of 2024. What are you going to do with the time you have? When we look at what Jesus is trying to say to these guys, he's listening to them because there was a certain village, a certain place. He talks in very clear language because you never know how long you're going to live. I'm not trying to predict it. I'm not going to make it to 249, but my grandma lived to be 101. I think I'm going to go after her run. She didn't play basketball, though. She might have played football. I don't know. She was pretty tough. So back to the story. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not foolish, but as wise, redeeming the time because of the days are evil." The challenge for us that he's giving is when we raise our hand to say we're going to follow Jesus, stop the evilness. Stop sinning, acting like it's okay. Stop stealing, cheating, lying, because we act like it's okay. It's not. Well, we just fibbing a little, we tell a little. I remember when I was a kid, somebody came up with a line that we've heard before. That's just a little white line. My mom would tell us when we get home, there a little white lie. She would say, "No room for little white lies. It is dealing with who you are and living the life you can live at your best." When we see this challenge that he's given us to us in Luke chapter 10, and he's given it because these people got so busy, they forgot really what really mattered. They started going in all kinds of different directions. It's about us as fellow workers to say this, challenge people around us to follow Christ. If you know me for very long, I say this very interesting. What we do, Pam and I do, is we minister to ministers, and to the what we believe is the whole body of Christ is ministers. But there are those that have raised their hand to say, "I'll pastor, I'll missionary, I'll do this, I'll be assistant, I'll be a children's minister." Just the list goes on. And so those are the kind of people we kind of focus on to try to talk to them and be around them. And I've met them in all kinds of different places. And I do ask questions of people when I meet them. I've met some of the most extraordinary people you could ever imagine to meet. And I've met them. They were glad to meet me. Then they meet Pam, and they put up with me to hang out with her. But back to the whole thing, I witnessed to them. I'll ask questions. "How you doing?" And so we're at a dinner place, Pam and I. This is May of 2023. This couple was sitting over here. And so we sit down. They're getting ready. They're getting ready to eat. I said, "Pam, I think that guy's a minister." "Okay." I said, I would say he's probably a pastor of a church." "Really?" I said, "I'm going to ask him." "Really?" I said, "Yes." So I go, "Hey, buddy, like that. And he said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Are you a minister? Like, do you pastor a church?" He said, looked at his wife, looked at me, and said, "Yes." And my mom goes, my wife goes, "Huh." She was glad, relieved, because sometimes, you know, maybe it doesn't. And so I started talking to him and sharing with him. It was a two-hour session we spent with that couple listening as tears came to their eyes, and they talked about the ministry they were in, pastoring the church, and the things that were going on. I said, I know what you're walking. I'll sit here and listen. The guy's from Georgia. I talked to him about once a month. We've gone through some video things with he and his wife, and it's really been really rewarding, because when I wake up in the morning, I say, God, I want to meet, you know, the Bible says he'll give you back 30, 60, 100% fold. I always pray I want 30, 60, 100% today, because I'm not promised to make it the whole 249 the rest of this year. But making this year the best of my year, he now then works something really better within us. Long story short, this next week we're going to be down in Florida. I call it Kissimmee because our goal is for the fall in love with Jesus again for these couples, fall in love with your spouse, and meet a friend. So part of fall in love with your spouse is Kissimmee again. You'll get it. And so this couple from Georgia is going to be a part of this group coming to our small group meeting in Florida. And you all have been a great part of it, because you launched this out in April. It's in Facebook. All the people around praying. You all have launched this out because of all the people that have been involved in this church, helped develop Pam and I to be able to be ready for this. Before we left, somebody here in the church came to us and said, God has prepared you for 38 years for the ministry that's ahead of you, that you're going to be reaching ministers. And that was a word from the Lord. And as I started to watch this start to take place and see how God was doing something so unique, so different, it starts to cause a love and a shaking within your heart that you get a chance. This guy now is coming to that setting. This past year, I was walking, doing some walking. This guy was walking, so I caught him. If you're walking, I'm going to try to catch you and try to get in front of you. Because I'm almost 70. I got two more years to go. So I want to be walking when I get to 70. I really want to be walking well at the end of the next 249 days. And so I walked up. This guy started walking. I said, "How you doing?" I came around the lap again. I said, "How you doing, buddy?" He's a tall, slender guy. He said, I'm doing good. He said, "I really don't talk to a whole lot of people." I said, "You get over it. Just walk with me." And as we were talking and sharing and going back and forth, the guy didn't talk very much. And so he told me what kind of work he did, and now I realize why he doesn't really get personal with people too much. I understood a little better. And then we kept walking around, and then we sat down. I said, "Have you ever sensed a call, a peace, him and his wife, to be part of ministry?" And he looked at her, looked at me, and he said, "I've taken some courses in that to be in ministry." Here's the beauty of it is, he retired, and now he's getting involved in ministry at his church. Because everything that happens here is ministry. Every one of you are a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everyone watching online, if you know Jesus is your personal Savior, you're a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ in this day and age that we live in. Here's the greatest funny story about it. This morning in the first service over in this area, his son, who just got transferred to Scott Air Force Base, was in service, and I met that guy on a cruise ship. I love cruises. So you'll see him around here. His name's Sean, so meet him. I said it on an international web there. It's okay. It'll be fine. The second one, I have decided to cut loose of any distractions. What are the things that have distracted you? You don't really see them. You feel them. Decide today to get rid of anything that distracts you. That everybody that leaves here, let's get rid of distractions. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. Everybody say endurance. The race that is set before us. I ran one marathon. This one. Jacob ran a marathon. Where'd Jacob go, that little guy? Where's he at? Stand up there. It's a cool beard and a nice hairdo. His wife makes him wear that. He ran a marathon yesterday. In 4 hours and some. Four and a half. No, what? What'd you run it in? 4 hours, 18 minutes. I did it in 5.5 hours. Now look at him. You should have done it in 2 hours. Look at me. Look at you. But it's those things that hinder us, those things that seem to pull us back, those things that keep us from moving forward. Paul is dealing with them in the book of Hebrews, and he's saying to them, you've got to make the statement. You've got to do it within your life to get rid of those things. In my time here at Grace Church, I had people on staff. Some of them are here right now. People who were volunteered to be elders and deacons. They're here now, leadership team. We saw God put together a race in this church. We were able to witness God put together something that was so unique that really challenges everything you can ever think about. It was magnificent. And you all were a part of it. You've been a part of the 38 years that I get to talk to this guy over here. That this guy comes from Georgia, I meet him over here, and now he's coming to that meeting at the deal. Where a guy that when I was pastor of this church, I preached at youth camp 35 years ago, there was a young man sitting there that was 15 years old picking a guitar. I was a guest speaker, and I said to him, "What's your greatest dream?" He said, "To be a worship leader." I said, "Come on, you're going to lead worship right now." He said, "No, I'm not that good." I said, "Neither am I. Just come on up." He and his wife, after 35 years of meeting and being a pastor of this church, he's now going to be at that house. Finding more of the will of God in his life. When we start to see what the leadership of this church and the history of this church, 100 years plus, Pam and I thank you. Because you launched a ministry here. That is the uniqueness of it is we're now building somewhat of a team of people. Last Sunday, two Sundays ago, I was sitting in a room with a guy who pastored a church. What does he want us to do in this whole distractions? What are the things that are distracting us into really reaching out to the greatest ministries around us, the greatest opportunities? His name, this gentleman, he pastored a church for 30 years. He has MS now. He's bedridden. Another guy pastors church, Brother Brad. And he is a challenge. I drove to London, Kentucky, just to sit in the room with him and say, talk to me. What's life like? This church put Pam and I in that building to talk to that man. We have 20 ministers that are out of ministry because of physical problems, challenges emotionally. And that list is growing. And all I need is a call, a hello, somebody from the outside to come by and say hi to them. And I personally, Pam and I, consider it very much an honor to go and talk to those folks. When we look at what God can do, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, he's saying to us, follow me, and I will make you. Not everybody can preach behind a pulpit. Not everybody can teach a class, but all of us can do something that changes lives. Brethren, do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching for the things which are ahead, I press towards the mark of the goal and the high prize of Christ Jesus. I encourage you to keep praying. His name's Pastor Downey. Keep praying for him, Pastor Ball. Keep praying for him, the guy in London, Kentucky. Keep praying for a guy named Don Ross. He was on staff with us. Then he was launched from this church to go start a church in the state of Maine. It was probably 25 years ago, Dr. Silsby. He's fighting cancer as hard as he can fight it. Please pray for Don and Cheryl and their family. I call him and talk to him. It's getting a little tougher now. He texts. Brilliant man. Started a church there. His wife, when I was talking to him about a month ago, I heard her say from the back, she said, see if Pastor Hal can come visit us. I told Pam, we got to get out there. Then the other day, he's not really talking. He's texting now. So pray for Don. Don Ross. Pray for Dick Coleman. He and his wife. He was on staff here at one time. They live in Kansas City. He had to give up his church because of health concerns. When we look at it, there's a lot of warriors that have slowed down. But I want to encourage you as a minister, your family, these five things real quick. The first one is prioritize Jesus. Prioritize Jesus. The second one is cherish your family. Don't miss those times. I went to see my granddaughter, my grandson, my daughter in Florida, Pam and I did. And my granddaughter said, I'm glad you're here, Pops. Let's go swimming. So I said, okay. So we went down to the pool. It's a big pool. And she's about this tall. My grandson's about this tall, but she's about this tall. She's 11. She said to me, Popsy, what we're going to do is a little contest here. I said, okay. We're going to push off this wall, and we're going to see who can swim the furthest in this pool underwater. You're 11 years old. You can't be dill, man. And she said, so why don't you go first? I said, no, you go first. I'm older. You go first. She said, I'm a girl. I said, I know you're a girl. Beautiful girl. You go first. I'm calling you. Go first. No, you go first. So she went. She went underneath that water, and she kept going and going and going. And I thought to myself, she may beat me. She got over there and she pops up. I said, grab the side of the wall. She grabs the side of the wall and the water's about like this on her. She said, hey, let's see if you can beat that. And I got underneath there and my ears started ringing and I started to say, Jesus, help me, please. And I'm going down through there and I see her legs and I thought, I got to make it to her legs. And I pop up, we're even. She said, I beat you by this much. She said, Popsy, this is what you need to learn. Okay. Fifth grader, you got to learn capacity. Capacity? You can always do a little bit more if you plan a little bit better and you're ready for what takes place. It's called capacity. It's capacity. When you push yourself a little bit harder to get a little bit more out of life, it's capacity. I said, I'm the preacher. So when I think about this whole second one here, when I say prioritize Jesus, cherish your family, it really takes capacity because everything's so busy. That's what he was talking about Mary and Martha about. It's so busy, busy, busy. We never get to see you. We never get to be around you. It's busy, busy, busy. You got to practice your capacity to do things that are more productive than busy. Here's the third one. Schedule a pause. I encourage you to pause with your wife. Pause with your kids. Pause and take a break. The fourth one. Incorporate family time. I know people that their kids go everywhere with them. And they're more fun than them. The fifth one is learn how to say no. When we look at this whole capacity, these distractions, these things that hold us back, these things that bother us, when I think about relationships, it really takes this whole relationship to take time and slow down that you can rest, that you can, the rest of your life, what would the rest of your life look like? What would the rest of this year look like? I encourage you to start taking off the things that weighed against us. What are the opportunities that God gives us, that he shows us? The rest of our life, what will it look like? You see, it's one, we're all one step away from the opportunity of the Holy Spirit to do something new within our life. It takes the rest of our lives, 249 more days. When's the last time you held hands? When's the last time you said hello? When's the last time you hugged somebody that was dear to you? Now's the time. The second one is I decided to cut loose from distractions. Cut loose from distractions. To cut loose, don't be distracted. I wrestled in high school. Wrestling is a great sport. Coach Foster, McKendry, you're the head wrestling coach now. Stand up. One day you'll be the head guy. Stand up. He's a fine young man. I watch him. We go over, remember Sam and Smith and his wife, Michaela. We would, we'd go over there and watch wrestling with him and everything, watch this guy. And he came up to me at a football practice. And he said to me, Pastor Hal, do you remember me? I mean, the guy looks like a model. And so I said to him, I think I'm supposed to. That's always the best way out. He said, you baptized me when I was 8 years old. I'm going to tell you something. God's got greater things in your life for you than you ever could imagine. But be faithful to him. Raise your hand and say, I'll follow wherever you want me to go. That's what it brings it to here. Will we raise our hand and say, God, do something really out of the ordinary with my life. If I can change, here's a challenge for everyone here and those watching online. If I can change one thing that would change the rest of my life, what would it be? Here's number three. I have decided to prioritize the presence of God. This became so real in this story. Let me read the scriptures that we have on number three. Psalm 27:4 says, one thing I desired of the Lord, that I will speak, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. Philippians 3:7-8. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet, indeed, I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I have gained all things. Here he comes to the challenge. It is about deciding to prioritize the presence of Christ. Spend time with the Lord. What will it take for me to do that? There's one thing, when I do my message, I always leave about 10% that on the day of the message or the morning of the message or whatever, when I spend some time with the Lord, there'd be a quickening for something in my heart. Here it is. In Luke chapter 10, he says this in verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into his house. And she had a sister named Mary. A certain village, a certain woman. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Now it came to pass, this hit me this morning, I've been reading the Bible for 54 years. Just was timing. Now a certain, it came to pass as he was praying, in a certain place, certain woman. Did you hear that? Certain village. Now we have a certain place. When he ceased, that one of his disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." Uniqueness of this is to be in his presence is to decide to prioritize his presence. We got to find a certain place, a certain time, and have a certain commitment to do it. So then he gives them the prayer. Hopefully we all know it. Our Father, let's say it together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and to trespass against us and not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, as you add what Matthew says. But here's the beauty of it is 249 days. People say, "Well, I want to say that verse every day. I'll take it for granted." There's a whole lot of things we take for granted. But if we purpose within our heart that we want God to change us to be more like him, that we want to be able to say what he wants us to say and do what he wants us to do and be called what he wants us to do, it does. I must decide to prioritize his presence. I want to encourage you. With everything that I know, encourage you. Everything I've ever learned about Christ, there is a certain village, there is a certain place, and there is a certain time. Find that time. We need to. Folks watching online, we need to. Here's the conclusion. What will you do with the rest of 2024? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for being a part of Grace Church. Thank you that you've called us to be grace to the world we live in, to be a difference. Thank you, God, that in years of being here and now the years that are ahead look just magnificent. Thank you, God. But Lord, help us to prioritize Jesus, to cherish our family, to spend the time with capacity to walk with them and to talk to them, push our capacity a little bit more. God, to schedule the pauses in our life, to, God, incorporate our family and say no to distractions. If you don't know Jesus is your personal Savior, you need to come back to him. The scripture is very clear. It's called repentance. But it's really kneeling in your heart, asking Christ to forgive you, be your Savior. I'm going to say a prayer, but let me say this first, 1 John 1:9, that if I confess my sin, Jesus is faithful to forgive me of all my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. He does it just in that moment. I'm going to pray a prayer, encourage you to say it with me. Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to forgive me of all my sins. Come live in my heart. Be my Savior. Help me to live this life I can't live my own, in Jesus' name. Father, I just declare to this congregation that our marriages will be stronger. I declare that our marriages will grow. I declare that our children will be raised in peace. And God, that the fatherless will find their father in you. The children that have no guidance will find their guidance in you. God, with all the things that rush through my mind and getting a chance to share with this church that I've been a part of so long, Pam and I and our family, well, there's so much I could say. But God, thank you, because we are called to be grace to this community, to the world we live in, wherever we show up, wherever we're a part of. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to worship the Lord in communion. If you don't have the cup, and the folks are going to walk them down the aisle. If you don't have one, raise your hand so you can get one. The cup that has it all in there, if you'd like one. Now, these are, it can get, if you haven't experienced this yet, they can get pretty messy if you let them. We usually just take the front tip and we wiggle it until it loosens up the cellophane. I encourage you to pray for the pastors. We have about 20 in the list that we visit, we call, we send candy to every once in a while. Some of them we even get a chance to go by their house and visit with, by the grace of God. But there are a lot of minister friends of mine and yours that just need a friend. You say, well, that's very interesting. They just need a friend. That's all it is. And then a friend to help with their direction. Jesus took the bread to his friends and he said, break it. He said, this is my body which was broken for you, from you, for you, eat this in remembrance of me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's eat together. Then he took the cup, pulled back the aluminum. And he said, this is my blood. This is a reminder of my blood. Lord, thank you for the blood that wasn't spilled, but it was given. The sacrifice by your grace. Father, we ask you by your grace to touch, give strength, do new things in our lives. Do what we cannot do on our own. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's drink together. Oh, God is faithful, huh? God is faithful. It's about capacity. To work out a message on that. I didn't drown, you know, it didn't give me capacity. Let's all stand. There's a lot happening. This church has always been strategic on what should take place. It's not a haphazard thing where we just say, well, let's do this, be busy, or do that. It's about, really about productivity. And we encourage you to keep up with what it says on the internet, on the webpage. Keith is here. He was on staff. He's a guy that was a big part of that whole webpage thing. Amen. He's a great guy. Look, he grows a beard overnight. He's good. He's good. But we encourage you to check those out, and you can find out more about all of our missionaries on that one wall. You'll see my picture there, mine and Pam's. You could put your phone up there. It took me, you know, a couple years to figure out how to do that, but I can do it now and give it a try. Father, we speak life. Health, direction. Thank you, God, you called us to relationship. Thank you for just the honor to represent Pam and I in the gospel, to say in the nicest way, heartfelt way, thank you to this congregation. We are grateful, and God, gratefulness makes us steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the gospel. Cause us to be grateful, God. Thank you for those that are here. Thank you for the challenge of the next 249 days to live life better, to give a priority to Christ, to our family, to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless
you. Thanks for watching this message today at graceweb.tv. If you're looking for previous messages or message series, you can find them by clicking the archive link on the message page of our website. If you need to connect with us, send us an email at gracecentral@graceweb.tv or send us an online connect card, which you'll find in the online forms page of the website. If you'd like to support the church financially, you can do so by clicking the give button, or you can text the word give to 618-414-4220. Thank you again for being a part of Grace Church.